53. Maracy and Moonlight were being hunted. Something was back there, something that seemed not quite human. It made a sound like nails or claws on stone, accompanied by unnatural growls. Maracy hurried through the blasted-out tunnel, Moonlight at her side, trying to balance their speed. If they moved too quickly, they might run straight into a patrol, but if they slowed too much, then whatever was back there would catch up to them. So they moved in fits, hurrying a distance they could see by the light of mining lamps, then pausing to scout out their next rush forward. This part of the tunnel complex was far more built up than the one they'd come from, with many more turns. But they were able to follow the signs, heading ever closer to the community. They passed more drywall rooms, some clearly occupied, and they had to find improvised cover several times as groups of people hurried past. These weren't soldiers, though. Mostly workers or scientists. Judging by their whispered conversations, Entrone had ordered everyone to their quarters. There was a sense of frantic worry to the people, but also a single-minded anxiety. That helped, as they weren't paying much attention to their surroundings. As Maracy and Moonlight hid from one of these groups beside some boxes, Maracy worried the thing chasing them would catch up. Yet it was creeping along, not rushing. Perhaps it was hiding too? Moonlight eventually whispered for Maracy to wait, then ducked into a room that, through the cracked door, seemed unoccupied. She emerged moments later with two lab coats, and they started moving through the corridor as though they belonged there. The disguises were flimsy, but no one gave them a second glance, despite Maracy's rifle. Soon, a voice echoed through the tunnel.
"Stay calm. Don't worry. I'm in the community making preparations for our new arrivals. I want all of you to settle in and wait. This is what we've planned for. We are ready."
It was Gabe Entrone. His voice came from some speakers that lined the hallway, a technology that was becoming more common since its invention a few years back. Hearing his voice finally undermined Maracy's hope that Gabe would resist the invasion. This complex, the supplies, everything about it indicated the truth. This was a bunker, the launching point of an invasion, and a place for Entrone's favorites to be protected from the coming annihilation. A haunting worry whispered this was only part of it. Maracy had to stop Entrone, but that wouldn't protect Elendil from the bomb Telson had trained on it. For that, she had to trust that Wax and Wayne were fulfilling their half of the mission. Her duty was to deal with this oncoming army, the men of gold and red. The tunnel eventually expanded to a large cavern, but curiously, the far wall was straight wood, from floor to ceiling, and it felt like that wall bisected the chamber, which, judging by the slope of the blasted-out ceiling, was extremely large. The wooden wall had several darkened rooms built up against it. Indeed, the entire chamber was silent and mostly dark, lit only by a few emergency lights. Maracy and Moonlight stopped at the mouth of the cavern. Was this the community? Why split the cavern like that? Whatever the reason, the order to quarters had been obeyed, and apparently any soldiers in the area had gone to deal with Twin Soul. That let Maracy and Moonlight enter the cavern alone. Soon after, those sounds came from behind again. Taking Moonlight by the shoulder, Maracy pulled them between two buildings beside the large wall. From this scant shelter, she watched as something entered the mouth of the cavern. It stood on four elongated legs and had an unnervingly long neck, with a head that wasn't entirely canine. It had features that, even shattered as they were, evoked an image that was too human. A dog's nose, or something approximating it, but human eyes set forward on its skull. It had no clothing, but also no fur. Two spike heads jutted from its shoulders. She'd heard of something like this before. Wax had encountered something similar in the tunnels beneath Elendil. Now, after studying the book Death had given her, she recognized what it was. A hemallergic monstrosity. One use of the art was to create Metalborn, but the Lord Ruler had also used hemallergy to create twisted versions of human beings. The Chondra had arisen from that work, as had the Koloss. Creating those had required precision use of spikes, the knowledge of a god. If you tried to approximate such designs, you were likely to kill your subject, or stumble into some kind of half-creation, a twisted mutation, leaving a being's soul mangled by the spikes. The set, it seemed, had found a permutation that was viable but grotesque. The thing sniffed the air, then prowled carefully into the cavern. It knew they were there. It paused where Marcy and Moonlight had stopped to inspect their surroundings, a spot that was barely 30 yards from their current hiding place. The abomination made a hooting sound that echoed in the cavern, and other voices, dozens of them, replied. Moonlight gripped Marcy's shoulder, then pointed. She'd made a door in the side of the structure they'd been hiding by, and they slipped into a dim room built up against the wooden wall bisecting the chamber. Two windows looked through it. Marcy didn't have a good view through them, not from her corner next to Moonlight. The door vanished, and a few moments later, scratches sounded at the wall they'd passed through. Silence followed, then a thumping at the main door. It held, for now. Marcy unslung her rifle, glanced at Moonlight, then nodded toward the windows. Perhaps they could escape through those? She stepped over to look through and found a town? Neat rows of houses lined streets within a vast chamber, bigger on that side than this one. It was lit from above with floodlights. Someone had painted imitation flowers and grass on the floor in wide swaths, and others had erected sculptures meant to imitate foliage. People in everyday clothing, skirts, trousers, day dresses, walked the streets, though there were no horses or automobiles she could see.
"What in preservation's name?" Marcy whispered. "I suppose this is the community they built for themselves to escape the destruction above?"
She frowned. A short time ago, she might have theorized it was designed to withstand the second ashfall, but she was now mostly certain that was a hoax. The bomb and the invading army were the true threats. Behind them, the thing stopped scratching at the door. She wasn't certain that was a good sign. It might have gone to get help.
"There's something off about this entire place," Moonlight said. She rapped on the window. "I think this is one-way glass. See the tinting? And those people in the next chamber. They don't appear to have heard the order to quarters or the fighting. They're too calm. We could still escape in there."
"Those twisted things will follow us," Moonlight said. "The strain the set has developed can track like a hound, but think almost like a person."
"Can we fight them?" Marcy said, checking her ammo.
"I'm not natively a soldier," Moonlight said. "I can defend myself if I have to, but..."
She seemed concerned as she glanced toward the door. Shouts came from outside. Troops arriving.
"You have another stamp," Marcy said. "One you said can transform you."
"Into someone else," she said. "Someone with a different past, different training, different talents."
"Can that person fight?"
Moonlight took a deep breath.
"Yes. Better than fighting, though, she should be able to vanish, hide. But the person I would become, she wouldn't be me. I've always wanted to try this specific transformation, Marcy, which is why I have the stamp. But it's dangerous. This one won't wear off as easily as the others. It will be permanent until I decide not to maintain it. And when I'm someone else, stamped like this, I don't think the same. One of these times I'll change and never come back. Yet with the jar of pure investiture as a power source, I can try this. I can really try it."
Moonlight dug out the stamp, then stared at it with the same air Marcy had seen in wax when cleaning one of his guns.
"You're telling me," Marcy said, "that transforming yourself into another person isn't magic?"
Moonlight grimaced.
"All right, I'll admit those ones feel more mystical. It all makes sense if you understand the door."
Marcy glanced through the window, then back at the front door. Shouts were converging outside. Rusts, it sounded like a lot of soldiers. Marcy raised her gun, then hesitated.
"Those monsters track through scent. What if you made me a door in this wall and I jumped through? Next, you could distract them, make a big fight of it, then vanish like you say. They might not know what happened to me. They might assume we both ran. That's a solid plan, Moonlight said. She took a deep breath. All right. I have wanted to try this. I intended to convince Kel to give me some of that investiture so I could. Never thought I'd be using this in the field, though. I can fight them in this form, but that would leave you alone. I can't just run, Moonlight, Maracy said. It's my fault we drew those troops. Beyond that, the basin is my home. I can't leave it to Entrone and his plans. Moonlight nodded sharply. Let's do it. I should have an advantage, as they might come after me with batons and bayonets. Too much gunfire could disturb whatever they're doing in that community. You'll notice the set hasn't done the smart thing here, which will be shooting up this entire room with prejudice. Forward, then, Maracy said. Moonlight dug something from her sack, a little device that she read some numbers from. If I ask, give me the distance 2763, inclination 12 degrees, and show me this map. She held out a notebook. I don't have time to explain why. She popped the top off the jar of investiture, then dipped her stamp into that light and used it on the wall, making the door for Maracy. That should make it hold longer than usual. Then she held the other stamp to her wrist. I hoped to have Kelsier here to pull me out if things went wrong. You might have to re-explain to me why I need to fight those soldiers.
What do you mean?
I might not have all my memories, Moonlight said. This will completely rewrite my past. My soul will think my parents moved to a different kingdom on my home world, and that I was born and raised there. I will change personalities entirely. I wrote it all out, but, well, I'm never quite sure how an essence mark will function until I try.
Wait, Maracy said. You didn't mention that part of...
Moonlight pressed the stamp down on her wrist. Then began to transform.